Dear friends, I invite you to turn your Bibles to the book of Revelation. The Lord speaks to us from Revelation chapter 21, verse 1 through 8. Hear now the word of God. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. Also he said, Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage. And I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for the murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. This far we read the word of God. Amen. Father in heaven, we humble ourselves this moment. How can we possibly understand your eternal holy revelation unless we be indwelled by God the Holy Spirit? We pray now that you may speak to us with clarity, with authority, that you may make these things understandable to us. And especially I pray for myself that you will illumine my mind and sanctify my lips, that I speak nothing but your word. These things we pray to the honor and glory of King Jesus. Amen. Two days ago, we were bearing the father to our Sunday school teacher. And I said to her, Sis Lebu, I empathize with you. Having experienced myself the sorrow of losing my dear mother, and that was 2015. It is said, men don't cry. But I couldn't help to stop my tears rolling down. My body was getting weaker and weaker. My heart was sorrowful. For the first time in my life, I felt the pain of losing someone who is very dear to you. That was 2015. And so I comforted Sislebu, family and friends, with the same comfort with which I myself was comforted by God. Dear friends, the book that we are reading, the book of Revelation, gives such great comfort to the church. This book is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It was written by the Apostle John while suffering exile on the island of Patmos. It was addressed to the seven churches, and these were actual churches. The church is portrayed under great distress, but assured of the final triumph of Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus revealed himself to John, and he said to him, "Write these things that you have seen. Write, John, those that are and those that are to take place after these. Write." What is the purpose of the book of Revelation? The purpose of this book was and still is to comfort believers, especially in times of sorrow, especially in times of hardships, in times of distress, in times of oppression, as the church was oppressed then. Dear friends, you and I experience so many sorrows. We experience so much hardship in childbearing, for instance, in making ends meet. We work hard, and so our bodies get tired. We develop body pains. We develop illnesses, and eventually we die. And death brings so much sorrow. The good news is that there is hope for the church. "For he who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.'" There is hope. And these are words of great comfort. And so let us look at this theme, an exhortation to endure, for God is making all things new. Thanks, Brother Lance. Last time when he stood here, he was preaching and was telling us that this world is not a perfect world. The perfect is yet to come. And so we have sufferings. We suffer so many sorrows. What does that mean to the church, to you and I? And here we find a message, an exhortation to endure, for God is making all things new. What is contained in that word, "all things"? Which things is God making new? Creation is being made new. Which things are contained in all things? Our relationship with God is being made new. Our physical bodies are being made new. Our spirituality and morality is being made new. Let me look at the first two, creation and our relationship with God being made new. Creation is being made new. Jesus revealed to John that God is seated on the throne. What does that mean? Meaning that he is in full control, even if it appears to be chaotic. And this is how we look at the world. It's a mess. And we complain, we grumble, we moan. God is in full control. Listen to what he says in verse 1. "Behold, I am making all things new." What is contained in all things? Look at verse 1. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more." This is what John saw. And the big question we can ask right now is, why did the new heaven and the new earth appear? What was wrong with the old? Well, because the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Why? For it was not perfect. It was messed up by humankind. Genesis chapter 3. We messed it up. We turned it upside down. The removal of the first heaven and the first earth will eliminate the fatal infection of evil in the whole universe. And God is saying, I'm doing that. The new will totally be transformed. It shall become a place where the righteous will dwell eternally. The new will totally be transformed. It shall become a place where God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. The new will totally be transformed. It shall become a place where death shall be no more. The new will totally be transformed, for it shall become a place where creation itself will be set free from bondage to decay. The new will totally be transformed, for it shall become a place where the redeemed will rejoice in the eternal presence of God and the Lamb. And so he who is sitting on the throne says, behold, I am making all things new. Dear friends, God will remove evil which is in this world. He is going to renovate the whole universe. Oh, yes. He is the great God. And his works are great. Only he can launch such a global rehab project to renovate the whole universe. Only he can completely remove the futility and evil and the so many sorrows of the whole world. Only God can do that. So John says, I saw the new heaven and the new earth. What else did John see? Verse 1. John also saw that the sea was no more. This does not mean that there will be no bodies of water in the new earth. What does it mean? You must understand that in John's world, the sea was perceived as dangerous and changeable. In John's world, in John's time, the sea was perceived as dangerous and changeable. To say that there was no sea anymore is to refer to the source of earthly rebellion. It is to refer to the source of earthly rebellion. It's referring to the chaos and the danger which is the sea from which the beast emerged. If you are reading Revelation 13 verse 1 and Daniel chapter 7 verse 3, then you begin to understand what John is referring to. Meaning that in the new earth, there will no longer be any source and any form of rebellion to threaten or to influence its perfect residence. That's what John is telling us here. Clearly, God is first preparing a glorious and a perfect place for his children to eternally dwell in. God is preparing a perfectly new environment, which will be a perfect fit. Hence the need to prepare a new relationship with himself. Yes, he's preparing a new place. And we're saying creation is being made new. But even more so, God is preparing a new relationship with his people and himself. Let's look at that. The Bible says, he who sits on the throne says, behold, I'm making all things new. Which things? Yes, creation will be made new, but even more so, our relationship with God is being made new. It was revealed to John that God is seated on the throne, therefore, nothing is out of control. He is in full control. He has power to make our relationship with himself new and glorious. He has that power. Look at verse 3. Look at verse 3. It says, I heard a loud voice from the throne. What is the voice saying? Behold, the dwelling of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them. He is making all things new. And that includes our relationship with Himself being made new. It's true that God is among us. That's very true. According to Scripture, His Spirit dwells in and among us. Remember, the promise of Jesus. What does He say? Never to leave you until the end of the age. He will never leave you. It is true God is among us. It is equally true, according to the Apostle Paul, that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. It is also true. Here we walk by faith and not by sight, the Bible says. Now, this means that there is a sense in which we are away from the Lord, for we do not see Him as He is. To which Jesus said, if you're reading Matthew 5, verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. It's in the promise. It's in the future. And so it's a promise. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Something great is yet to happen. Something great is coming for the believers. Our relationship with God is being made new. We shall see Him as He is. New relationship. Quick question. What has God done to give us a pure heart so that we will see Him? What has God done? He's done something. He's done everything there should be for us to come to this state to see Him as He is. And so it was revealed to John, behold, He who is seated on the throne says, I am making all things new. Our relationship with Him is being made new. What has God done? He gave us the very best, the breath of Jesus Christ, who was born, who died, who was buried, who arose, who ascended, and who is seated at the right hand of God, who sent the Holy Spirit, and who shall come to judge the living and the dead. How is your relationship with God? Relationship. We understand that word relationship very well. How is your relationship with God? If you ask the young generation, are you in a relationship? More often they say, it's complicated. It's on and off. Let's just not talk about it. I pray this is not your answer to the question, how and what is your relationship with God? I pray your answer is, it's complicated. Let's not talk about it. I pray. Notice the two opposite sides. There is the positive side and the negative side. Brother Lance called the two poles. Notice the two opposite sides in this pericope. The positive side, the reward of the righteous, 1 to 7. And the negative side, the judgment of the wicked, verse 8. And when you come to verse 8, it opens with that contrast, but. Dear friends, despite so many sufferings of our time, what gives you hope in this seemingly chaotic world? Not perfect. What gives you hope? If you ask the Apostle Paul, what gives you hope? Listen to what he would say, Romans 8:18 to 23. Romans 8, Paul says, for I consider that the suffering of this present time, wait a minute, the Apostle Paul, you're also suffering? It's not perfect. Paul equally is suffering. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. That gives Paul hope. He says, the glory that is to be revealed to us. And not only the creation, remember I said creation is also, you know, groaning. And so Paul says, and not only the creation, but ourselves who have the first fruit of the Spirit. What do? We groan, we grieve, we sorrow inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. What does this mean? On the one side, the righteous are going to be rewarded. The righteous are going to be rewarded despite our many sorrows. True. Yes, we are believers with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Despite our many sorrows, if we believe in God, if we are His sons through Jesus, if we are being made pure at heart, our bodies will be redeemed, will be saved. We shall enjoy the eternal life in its fullness, for there will be no sorrow anymore. That is on the one side. But on the other side, the wicked will be judged. On the other side, the wicked will be judged. The worst for them is yet to come. And I listened carefully. Pastor Ramsey's sermon last week. If you think what you're experiencing is evil, the worst is yet to come. The worst is yet to come. The wicked, yes, they'll suffer. And they would suffer in this world. Though they suffer now, they will suffer again. And the Bible says, in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, that's going to be their second death. How is your relationship with God? Is it getting better? Or it's worsening? Dear friend, you and I still have an opportunity to surrender, to repent, and to believe in Jesus Christ. Who is He? He is means through which God is making all things new. He brings peace between God, His Father, and us. He is the gift of God given to the world, that if we believe in Him, we should not perish, but have eternal life. And so it was revealed to John, He who sits on the throne says, behold, I am making all things new. What is contained in all things? He is making creation new. John saw the new heaven and the new earth, you know, and then he also saw there was no sea anymore. And we have worked with that. But even more so, John, it was revealed to him that God is making all things new, including our relationship with Himself. In conclusion, in the present time, even believers in God, we get tired. Even believers in God, we get tired. At the beginning of the semester like this, we are so zealous and passionate and we love it. We want to study theology. Wait, after 2, 3, 4 weeks, our zeal slowly but surely begins to dwindle, begins to go down. And one of the things that would kill your zeal, we touched on it briefly when we were praying, assessment. When you don't plan well, and before you realize this assignment is due and this one, and then there's a test, and then there's this, quickly, your zeal for studying theology goes down. And I know students, we suffer that. To know that your assignment is due tomorrow and you have this test and you have this and you have that, you feel the pain. And so in your studies, we get tired. But even more so, we become old, and so we fall sick, and eventually we die. And death brings so much sorrow. But the Bible reveals that our sorrows are not permanent. There is hope to the church. Our sorrows are not permanent. They will not be in the New Jerusalem. This will be a city, a holy place where God will dwell with the believers, with his children. God will renovate all creation to take all futility and evil and pain out of it. And finally, he himself will come to us and let us see his face. It will be a new relationship altogether. This will be our new glorious relationship with him. Dear friends, despite so many sorrows, let us therefore endure, for there is hope. Endure, for there is hope. Only for the children of God, forever and ever, the righteous will live with pure hearts and glorious bodies on the new earth in the presence and the glory of our Heavenly Father. I'm looking forward to that time. I don't know about you. I'm looking forward to that time where this earth will be renewed, where it will become perfect for its redeemed inhabitants, children of God. Let us pray. Father, it's in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we bless your name even this moment. And yes, living in an imperfect world, a world that we messed up ourselves, we are again reminded and encouraged that you are making all things new. We pray and we look forward to that time when we shall live in a perfect city, in the holy city, the New Jerusalem, where there will be no possibility to sin, where there will be no possibility to rebel against you, but that we shall love you and treasure you and enjoy to worship you forever. And so we pray that continue to work in us, continue to sanctify us, continue to prepare us for that time when our Lord Jesus Christ returns. Forgive us, God Almighty, however we have sinned against you. And God, is our prayer and our cry that you do inculcate in us Christ-like character. Would you please shape and sharpen us to be instruments in your kingdom? Our involvement here at Mukanyo, we pray that you are going to bless us as students, as lecturers, staff. It's our prayer that you'd come and comfort each one of us in our various and in our so much sorrows. But we can be comforted, for you are making all things new. And all these things we pray through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.